Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. Do you realize in the Bible you'll find 2,500 verses that deal specifically with how we handle money? You'll find verses related to saving and investing, to giving, how to handle a financial crisis, and then the big one, how to remain out of debt. We use these biblical principles as part of our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Now, I'd like for you to take a look at the topics that are discussed over the 9 weeks and the tools that you will use to help manage your money. In fact, these tools are yours to use forever. All the information can be found at compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and leading our discussion are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Now, today we are discussing the future of Social Security. Yeah, I wish we all had a crystal ball. And the big question everyone will ask us eventually is, will Social Security be there for me? Well, John, will it?
I think the actual answer to this question
is maybe.
Is a definite maybe. But there's a lot of ways to think about it. And so you have to be open-minded and approach the subject from the perspective that Social Security was originally designed. And we're going to get into that. But recently, the government announced that for the first time since 1982, they're tapping into Social Security trust funds. And they're doing that to pay current benefits to recipients. And they're also dipping into Medicare reserves to cover the costs of that program. And the trustees have projected that the trust fund for Social Security will run out in 2034, and Medicare's ability to pay bills will run out in 2026. But I really think that that's hogwash.
Well, you know, and we may have been reading the same article. There was one little fact in there that I really never thought about, that every day, 10,000 baby boomers go on the Social Security payroll.
I saw that. There's going to be 3,650,000 a year.
Yes.
For the next 10 years.
Tapping into that fund.
But how many people die every day and are off Social Security?
It's just the idea that 10,000 every day are going on the Social Security payroll.
But you know, Steve, if Congress did anything to eliminate Social Security or Medicare, you know, as much as, especially on Medicare, they're passing that football back and forth and back and forth, it would be political suicide for Congress to eliminate Social Security and Medicare. They may be forced to cut benefits, raise taxes, increase the eligibility age, or maybe even some combination of the three. I mean, they talk about that stuff all the time. But 52% of Americans rely on Social Security for more than half of their retirement. And 25% get more than 90% of their income from the program. And for them, that would be a total disaster.
If it was totally eliminated.
Yes.
No, Audrey and I work, one individual comes to mind. She lives probably 95% on Social Security.
That is sad. So what do you suggest we do, John? Should we write to our congressman? Should we start picketing? You know, what's your idea about how to get this out in front of people and have them understand the severity of what you're talking about?
Well, I think fixing our reliance on Social Security is the responsibility of everybody. Each one of us needs to be involved. We can no longer stick our heads in the sand and let our do-nothing Congress continue to do what they do best.
Which is nothing.
Nothing. Okay. We got to ask the tough questions of our congressional leaders. The important thing is we can ask, and I think at times everybody asks a question, then they forget about it and they go off on their merry way, and Congress knows if they just are patient and wait it out, it'll go away.
For a while, and then it comes up again.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got to continue the discussion. And we also must take ourselves to task because, you know what? Over the years, we haven't saved enough money to support ourselves. The average retirement savings in America, Steve, is only $60,000.
Okay, now $60,000 is the average of everybody that saved for retirement, so
yes.
It includes the 20-year-olds and the 90-year-olds.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yes. Wow. In fact, Evelyn, the average boomer has saved about $103,000.
In total for their in their retirement account.
Yes, yes. The sad thing about it is that over half of the boomers think they're never going to be able to retire.
Oh, I can see.
But if they've only saved $100,000, yeah, mm-hmm. You know, there's no way they can do that. The average millennial, this is really shattering, has only saved $1,000, the average.
Total.
Now, those who have programs like through their employer mm-hmm. and stuff like that have saved about $16,000. And, you know, they still got a lot of years left to save, but, you know, that's not a lot of money.
So let me ask you this. What do you say to a boomer, let's say a 50-year-old that has $100,000 saved for retirement? How do you catch up? I mean, is it possible to catch up?
The answer to that, I think, is it depends on how much money you're earning and how much you're willing to
sacrifice so you can fund.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had zero at age 38 because we'd spent everything we had or by age 40 or 42. And we were totally tapped out of all of our IRAs and retirement plans. We had zip
okay,
saved.
So you lived this.
Yes, we
oh,
did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've made all the financial mistakes there are to make.
Well, I knew you made financial mistakes. I didn't realize about your retirement that it was...
Yeah, we.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have any.
Oh, interesting.
Zippo. We were focused on saving money. Now, the Lord blessed us unbelievably with good jobs, and he allowed us to save extraordinary amounts of money.
So you didn't inherit a large chunk of money, or you didn't win a lot?
Oh, my gosh, Steve. My parents... I don't think my dad ever made more than, what, $30,000 a year?
Something like that,
At the most.
Yeah.
And my mom was working so she could pay for braces in college. And back then, college was a lot less expensive
right,
than it is
true.
Now. So they were not wealthy people, and your parents weren't either.
No. I inherited nothing from when my mom and dad died. So we've saved basically everything that we've got.
But we also were willing to make the sacrifice to make those savings happen.
That was my next question. How much did you have to sacrifice? I mean, was the sacrifice painful?
We quit wasting money, I think is the best way to put it. Because a lot of things that we were doing, it was because we wanted to do it, not because we had to do it. So once you kind of get that mindset that you know the difference between needs and wants, you can focus on filling your needs. And then with the extra money, fulfill some of your wants, but not all of them. Whereas we were focused on fulfilling all of our wants in the early years.
In the early years, yeah. But, you know, once we had gotten out of debt, basically, except for the mortgage and, you know, maybe a car, we saved a lot of money and we were blessed. But from that point in time, 30 years ago, when we started with the Bible study, we lived below our means.
Okay.
Totally. And we still do today. That allowed us to save extraordinary amounts of money over basically the 20 years before we retired. In the 20 years, we basically saved all the money that we've saved, and now we're just riding that out. Here's another fact that, you know, the Gen X's, they typically have saved $67,000, the average. But almost 35% of them have taken a loan against their savings plan. I understand how that works. I mean, we did that. I mean, that's something not in the beginning, but there was a couple times in there where we borrowed short term to finance something. I don't even know what it was for at this point in time, but then we paid it back. Because if you don't pay it back, you're subject to taxes and penalties and that type of thing. Now, the average 62-year-old person, now we said originally the average boomer has saved $103,000, but if you look at the average 60-year-old, who's definitely a boomer, they've got $172,000. But by age 60, if you go by all of the standard definitions of how much money you should have saved, they should have saved seven times their income. And if you divide 172 by 7, you're only getting $24,500.
So you're
saying, know that they're earning more than $25,000 a year. So they've probably only saved maybe two or just a little bit over two times their salary. So they're really in a hole. So you brought up earlier, Steve, that there's 10,000 boomers that are retiring every day. That's 3.5 million a year for the next 10 years. And that's going to put a huge crunch on Social Security and Medicare. And the thing is, and you know, we can't do anything about the people who are already 60, who are already retiring or whatever. But if you're younger than 60, you need to be saving as much as possible. If you retire at age 65, you need to have about 8 times your annual salary. So even if you only earn $50,000 a year, that means you've got to have saved $400,000. Now, we already know based on the statistics that people haven't saved that much money, no matter how much money they're making. One of the more fortunate people, and maybe you've averaged $125,000, you've got to have saved $1 million when you retire. To have that as your pot of gold to live off, are you really saving enough? Proverbs 21:20 tells us that precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool consumes it. Are you consuming your treasure?
Working with individuals or couples in their late 40s, early 50s that realize the mistake they've made by not saving for retirement, it then becomes a task to start examining all the expenses that can be cut or eliminated and start some sort of accelerated saving program. You know, the big thing to find out, are you participating in your employer's program if they have a retirement program available? If not, then really work with a financial individual that can help you plan for that retirement. In fact, at CompassCatholic.org, we have several calculators for retirement. There's one that you can either include or omit Social Security. It'll give you a great idea of how much money you will need in retirement and how much you will need to save between now and the point you actually retire. Go to CompassCatholic.org, click on Resources in the navigation bar, and locate those calculators. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. John and Evelyn Bean, we've been discussing the future of Social Security. And Evelyn, the market over the last 18 months has done fairly well. And lately, a little bit kind of on a roller coaster ride. Well, the question is, how important is it that we do plan for a major downturn in this market?
You know, Steve, I'm glad you asked that because we've had 10 years of a bull market and we don't know when it's going to stop. But we do know that it will stop at some point in time. So everybody needs to realize this and be prepared financially for the time it crashes.
You know, Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty." So the question is, what are your plans to make sure that you are prepared for the bear market? If you've already retired, the bear market is going to hurt, probably it's going to hurt those people who have retired more than anybody else.
Depends on what they have their money in, though, right?
Well, especially if they're not prepared and have got their money in the right spot. You need to, if you're retired, you need to have money that's set aside in liquid investments. And this will allow you not to have to sell stocks and bonds and things like that that are depreciated assets during the bear market. You know, if you've got liquid assets, in other words, basically they're cash, okay, they're not going to be devalued during the bear market.
So we've done that, right, John?
We have.
We've got, what, 2 years worth of?
We actually have two, maybe a little bit more than 2 years worth of cash or liquid, not necessarily cash, but liquid investments. And then everything else beyond that is fully invested. And that's the way we'll keep it. Why do we do that? It's because that for 2 years or maybe a little bit beyond 2 years, and actually if we decide that we need to reduce our budget, maybe kind of go into a semi-crisis budget or whatever, depending on how bad the bear market is, we don't have to sell anything that's depreciated. So we can continue to live based on our budget, okay? And then we're ready for the bull market to come back. And when it comes back, and we'll talk about that, how it comes back, but when that comes back, then we haven't really lost anything. You know, in the last big bear market was in 2007, 2008, 2009. The market dropped about 37%, I think. It was in that neighborhood. But because we had cash, we didn't really feel it. I know some people lost their shirt, and probably a lot of them lost their trousers too. But it wasn't a great time for a lot of people. But if you were prepared, then it came out okay.
It was much less painful.
Yes, yes. And actually, a bear market is an opportunity, especially if you're maybe 10 years before retirement or 20 or 30, it's an opportunity to take advantage of buying stocks at reduced values. You don't have any debt, or you've got very little debt, and you saved your money. That's the time to plow it back in to the market or to property, you know, whatever. As those values drop, if you continue to invest or maybe increase, when everything turns around and heads the other direction, I guarantee you it will, then you're going to be really in a good shape.
Buy low and sell high, right?
Well, buy low, don't sell.
It's just being consistent.
Yes, yes. What is your debt accumulation? You know, as we approach this inevitable bear market, you want to make sure that your debt is as low as possible or even non-existent, especially your credit card debt and your consumer debt. Get that paid off. We want you not to have that debt anyway, whether it's a big, you know, a bear market or a bull market. As we approach a bear market, you definitely want to have as little debt as possible. And increase your emergency fund. You know, Evelyn said we've got 2 years of cash. I know most people can't have that much money. We've been blessed to be able to do that. And then we've made provisions with our pot of gold to section off that amount of money. Create an emergency fund that's at least 6 months. It would be better if it was 12 or 18, but create that emergency fund so that if something happens, if the bull market or the bear market comes and you lose your job by chance, heaven forbid, then you've got something to fall back on.
John, if I'm, or Evelyn too, if I'm saving for retirement and my emergency fund is not funded to where it should be, how do you juggle? What do I fund? The retirement fund, emergency fund?
I would say yes. I would funnel money to both places. Just whatever you're putting into your retirement fund, I would take half of that
half
and
of
funnel
that.
It
okay.
to your emergency fund.
Okay.
Because you really don't want to stop saving for retirement, because the longer you can leave that money invested, the more time
right.
it has to grow.
Okay.
But the emergency fund is really important.
The emergency fund is extremely important. And paying off, especially credit card debt. You know, the interest rate on credit card debt today is right around 16% at an average. I know there's cards that they only charge maybe 7 or 8 or 9%, but there's also a ton of cards out there that are charging 20-plus percentage. You got to get that paid off. That's just so important.
Well, paying the interest is a waste of money.
It's totally a waste of money. So it's really more important to get that credit card debt paid off than it is to save for retirement. If you can get it done, you know, in a short period of 2 or 3 years or 4 years. I've heard of a lot of people that have paid off $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 in 24 months, in 30 months. Now, did they sacrifice? You betcha.
So, I mean, that's the point. If I'm thinking, if you and Evelyn are talking about this, in my mind, I'm thinking of those that are in that 10 or 15 year window before retirement, and they have debt, not enough money saved for retirement, and they really haven't funded their emergency fund to where it should be. You know, the things that they need to be thinking about, and it's sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'm not going on three unbelievable vacations. Maybe I'm not even going on one unbelievable vacation.
Yeah, I would say, you know,
because you'll have time in retirement
exactly.
if you have it saved.
If you've saved the money. But, you know, if you got 10 or 15 years and you still got credit card debt and you still got consumer debt and you still got your house mortgage and you've got car loans and you're in debt up to your eyeballs, let's face it. You shouldn't be going on these beautiful trips and all that kind of stuff. You should get rid of your debt. There'll be time. But if you don't do it now, your time is going to run out. And then you're never going to get to go on those trips.
No, you'll think about that vacation when you're 70 going, boy, if I wouldn't have taken 20 of those vacations, I would have had money.
I wouldn't have to eat cat food.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't go on vacations. Maybe they just bought new cars every couple of years.
Yeah, it's just spending when they really didn't need to spend.
What we see, though, is a lot of people just fritter away money because it's so easy to buy stuff with credit cards. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked to people that have, I don't know how many videos. People buy clothes that they never wear. People buy jewelry that they don't really need or want or use. So it's just that constant consumer buying that gets people into trouble because it just kind of snowballs out of control.
You know, so many people, those warehouse stores that have unbelievable prices, and they when you walk into most of them, the TVs are sitting there. Mm-hmm. And I've had a number of our friends say, can you believe that 72-inch TV is only $5.99? And I'm going, do you need a 70-inch television? I don't care if it's $199. Do you need a 70? I would go blind if I had a 70-inch television.
But see, Steve, you said the key word, do you need? And most people don't think about the difference between needs and wants. Yeah. But man, when you're in retirement and you need a certain amount of money in order to sustain your basics, then that's where needs and wants really hits the fan.
And, you know, when the bear market hits, and I guarantee you it's going to hit at some point in time, it's important that you don't have all that debt, that you are prepared for that bear market.
And that's what I hate. They've been calling for a bear market for the last number of years, and it hasn't happened. And it's almost like crying wolf. People think in their mind, they've been saying this for 5 years, and it hasn't happened.
Well, it's like the hurricanes.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, when you get here in Florida and we hear so much about hurricanes, and then we have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years where there's no hurricane,
then
people ignore it, and then all of a sudden, nobody has a roof.
Yeah, we had three, back to back to back.
Yep.
If your house is in order when the bear market hits, and we've had 10 years of great market and an average return of 7+%, maybe even higher than that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and people get used to, I can earn 7%. I don't ever even project a rate of return that's as high as 7%
on my own
personal stuff. Because while it's realistic, I'd rather be really conservative. If you've got your house in order when the bear market hits, you'll be able to take advantage of that bear market. You continue to dollar cost average your investments, maybe even buy more stock or property or whatever. And you're not going to have to sell your investments at lower values or even maybe lose money. Here's some interesting factoids, all right, Steve? Since 1934, there's only been 4 bear markets where the average of the S&P 500 dropped 20% or more. Okay, the most recent was 2008. It dropped 37%. But not counting the year 2008, the following year, the market gained 32%. So it bounced back almost completely, rebounded in 12 months. And if people were trying to time the market and stuff like that, they missed the biggest portion of that bounce back because they couldn't move that fast. Nobody would believe that it was coming back that fast after being down that far. If you look at the bear markets and the bull markets, you know, there's more good than bad over the years. Here's the split between up and down times on the S&P 500. 53% of the days on the S&P are up, 47 are down. 58% of the months are up, 42 are down. Years, 72% are up, only 28% are down. That's just really spectacular. So you can't get totally paranoid about having a down market. It's an opportunity to grow if you're prepared, if you have your house in order. So the answer to the question that we've asked in this program. Will Social Security be there for you? The good news answer is yes, it's going to be there. The bad news answer is no, it's not going to be there in the way most people would like for it to be. We need to have a Joseph mentality. Think about Joseph in Genesis chapter 41. He saved during 7 years of plenty, and that allowed them to survive during 7 years of a great famine. We need to be able to do the same thing. We need to be diversified. Money can be lost on any investment, stocks, bonds, real estate, gold, you name it. They're going to do either well or bad. But each investment has its own advantages and disadvantages. And the perfect investment doesn't exist. Don't put all your eggs into one basket. Diversify. Ecclesiastes 11:2 tells us, make 7 or 8 portions. You know not what misfortune may come upon the earth. So if you save and plan to live on your savings and not necessarily surviving on Social Security, you'll be able to have the best of both worlds.
The major message that we want to get across, no matter your age, get rid of your debt as quickly as possible and begin to save, save, save. Save for the big things in life, buying a home, education, your emergency fund, and retirement. Now, if you'd like to share this program with others, simply direct them to our website, compasscatholic.org, and on the homepage, click on podcast. We do appreciate you listening. And reminder that we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.